Andrew, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, this open letter to Prime Minister Turnbull, can you tell us what concerns it's addressing?
Well, the concern is that the human effect in terms of carbon emission, in terms of deforestation, fires, and so on, is actually leading to a change, a sharp change in the composition of the atmosphere.
Mm.
Now, the Earth's climate is affected by a number of factors. One is the sun, and we don't have much effect on that. The other one are volcanic eruptions, and once again, we don't have much of an effect on that. And this comes and goes. But the main one, is the composition of the atmosphere in terms of carbon gases, greenhouse gases, which includes methane and nitric oxide, and also aerosols, it's dust and sulfur dioxide, which are short-lived. And what mastery of fire and following that, the Industrial Revolution, but most particularly over the last perhaps century or so, humans are in the process of abruptly changing the composition of the atmosphere, increasing greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, which will lead the environments, Earth environments, to a state, to conditions which are different from those in which humans have appeared or arisen in the first place.
You've mentioned a need for meaningful reductions of Australia's peak carbon emissions and coal exports while there's still time. What would you constitute as a meaningful reduction?
We are now, the atmosphere is now at 407 parts per million carbon dioxide. This is way above anything before humans have appeared on the planet. That's more than humans. So, meaningful reduction is essential, although at this stage it's already not sufficient. It's essential in terms of we really can't continue to release carbon dioxide anywhere like the way we do now. At the present, it's 3 parts per million per year. But now it went further because it's more than 30 years since the problem has been indicated. And humanity technology needs to now learn how to draw down much of the carbon, sequester much of the carbon. And there's no sign that that's been done. Funding is going mainly into, much of it goes into the military, $2 trillion a year. Funds of this magnitude need to now be diverted into attempts at developing technology to cool the earth, to draw this carbon down.
You've also addressed the Paris Agreement, the document signed by 180 nations, including Australia, to reduce emissions. Now, this document is non-binding. We hear a lot of contradictory information on it. At least we hear quite a bit of contradiction here in Australia as whether we're on track or whether we need something new to be happening. In your view, is Australia on track to meet its pledge in the Paris Agreement?
Well, one factor in Australia's commitment is the one which has not been indicated, that's the export of coal, which is almost twice as much as the domestic emission per capita. We're talking about, 2 or 3 times the domestic emission. And this goes, eventually it's burnt overseas and goes into the same atmosphere. And Australia's emission per capita, it's one of the highest in the world, I think second or third highest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say that Australia is pulling its weight.
You know, we are still seeing arguments in government about the reality of climate change itself, in spite of all the scientific evidence being very definitive on the point, the reality of climate change, as you mentioned there, humans' role in creating this climate change. If politicians can't even agree on the reality of the situation, what hope is there, do you feel, in the fight for policy against vested economic interests like our interests in coal? Essentially, what were you hoping to achieve with this open letter?
Well, with regard to theories about the origin of climate change, there are still people, or have been people, who believe that the Earth is flat rather than round. The people who don't accept gravity and the electromagnetic force. There are people who don't accept smoking, tobacco smoking, causing cancer. There are always people, and particularly where there is a vested interest, to dismiss a scientific observation, like it was with the ozone layer and with tobacco. So these people have a pre-science mindset, and we're supposed to live in enlightenment, in evidence-based, an evidence-based mode of thinking. Insofar as science is the definitive method to indicate what the evidence is, these people are pre-science, have a pre-science way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And humanity will follow what they say at its own peril. Now you're asking me about, so that's about as far as denial goes. We are talking here about the basic laws of physics, not about 0.1 degree up or down, which changes all the time. The trend is up. But we're talking about the basic laws of physics. The Earth receives a multispectral radiation from the sun, but it returns radiation, infrared radiation, based on the black body physics. Black bodies emit long wave radiation. So the Earth receives the whole spectrum. It emits back infrared. When you have carbon dioxide, carbon gases, methane, and nitric oxide in the atmosphere, the more you have, the more is returned to the Earth. It's like a warm blanket. This warm blanket has increased in thickness, particularly over the last 60, 70 years. And now we are looking at the consequences. We are looking at an increase in extreme weather events. We're looking at the rise in land and water temperature. We're looking at the sea level rise. We're looking at the spectrum which has been indicated and predicted by the science, by the basic laws of science.
Just as a final point, perhaps, on the policy itself, are there any other areas of policy you feel are just being missed out, just not being talked about by the government, by the media? You mentioned there we're the highest or one of the highest per capita polluters. We've obviously got the coal exports, which have been very, very central to what Australia's been doing for the past couple of decades. But are there any areas of policy that really we're just not thinking of because we're not thinking as scientists?
Are you talking about climate or about other aspects?
About climate aspects.
Well, there are a myriad of problems. I don't know which one specifically, and probably there is no time pointing them out.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them, which I'm thinking about now, is the indication, which generally was accepted, is that climate changes gradually. Now, my particular field is in studying the history of the atmosphere. This is not the case when you look at the history of the atmosphere. The climate has very rarely changed gradually in the long term. It changes in across tipping points and abrupt, irreversible changes. So it goes, the curves go up and go down, sometimes within a few years. There have been cases in which, due to the amplifying factor, amplifying feedbacks, changes have occurred within very short times, a few years. And there is a danger now that we are approaching a tipping point, that there is not much which is gradual, even in this century, that we are approaching a point of no return, a point at which abrupt events could occur. And one of them is the collapse of the North Atlantic Thermohaline Current due to the cold water flowing down from the ice sheets on Greenland. This kind of thing has happened in the past. It can happen again, and in fact there are indications from the development of large pools of cold ocean water south of Greenland that it could be happening in the nearer rather than further future.
Mm. Definitely. Some very concerning stuff. Do appreciate, Andrew, you coming on, having a chat with us about these kind of issues, about this open letter to Prime Minister Turnbull. Hopefully he'll be reading it and hopefully they'll be taking it on board. I do appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a very good day, mate.
Yeah, good day to you too.